this morning, as you've heard me say, that one email has resulted in the head of the examination body, SEA, in Northern Ireland announcing, and you'll hear him do it in the next few seconds, that he is reopening the review process, the challenge process to grades for English literature at GCSE. This story came to us from a caller called Joanne, who told us about her daughter's GCSE English literature exam being marked from an A, from being marked from a D to an A. That opened the floodgates with more listeners ringing in to tell us similar stories of jumps between grades after remarking in both GCSE and AS level exams. Here's a reminder of how the programme unfolded yesterday.
Fourth year, she sat three GCSEs. They said that she'd got a D in her English literature. And she said herself at the time, it's not right. We paid, I think it was £18 for that one paper to be remarked, and it came back as an A. It actually came back where she was a point off an A star.
How can that happen? Had you not have appealed that, she was being scored as a D student.
She was.
And when we give the CCEA an opportunity to come onto the programme, do you know what we got back? CCEA cannot comment on an individual student's grades. John, morning, John. Tell me about your son.
We wanted to actually remark his history, but we couldn't afford to pay for, you know, another £40.
And there you go. There's the big question mark again over this charge. Why on earth are they charging to have a paper remarked? And where is the understanding for those parents who can't afford it? You're one of them, John.
When we're all talking about supporting mental health for children and everything, this is putting so much pressure on children. I know for a fact there was kids that didn't get back from his school because they didn't make the points for A-levels. When they had theirs remarked, 10 kids get back to school 4 weeks late.
No.
Starting to, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This year?
This year.
John, my mouth is wide open. No. And you as a parent wanted your son's history exam rechecked, and they were going to charge you how much for that?
For the history exam, it was four papers. So it worked out £80 to do £20 per paper. I couldn't afford it, Stephen.
Colin, good morning.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Your son studied English literature, the same subject, GCSE, correct?
That's right, Stephen, yes. And I went from a D to, it was upgraded, he got remarked and was upgraded to A star.
This year?
This year. This year, he's got an A star. He was down on the dumps with a D, and he's A star. He's over the moon now. Like, but, you know, it's not fair, isn't it? Yeah, it's top of class.
Morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
And this is English literature again, is it?
It is. It is.
GCSE?
Yep.
This year?
This year. My daughter got, it was a module. The result was a D. Her teacher couldn't believe it. Told us to get it remarked, to which we did, and it went to a B.
How do you feel about this?
Well, I'd be fuming. Because at the end of the day, this goes towards her overall result. Had it been her actual GCSEs, my daughter could have been asked not to return to the school. They're under enough pressure and stress as it is around exam time.
Julianne, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Your daughter, English literature again?
Yes, it was indeed.
This year?
Yes.
What happened?
She worked very, very hard. Very disappointed when the results came through. He got a B in one of her papers and an E in the other paper.
A B and an E?
A B and an E, giving her an overall grade of a C. Her teacher requested four of the transcripts himself, paid for it out of his own pocket, to check them. He wasn't happy, and the school got the full class remarked. My daughter went up 18 marks, went from an E in that paper to a C, giving her an overall B.
Went in one paper from an E to a C?
From an E to a C, bringing her overall grade up to a B. I feel very angry. This time next year, my daughter's going to be hopefully going to Queen's, and potentially, if this was this time next year, she could have lost out on a university place.
Tell us your story, Nicola.
I had a child who was who'd worked very hard and specifically hadn't done as well as he thought in the English literature, but he was only 2 marks off a B. We weighed up the risk. On one paper, he stayed the same. On the second paper, they deducted 23 marks.
23 marks in AS level.
And he went down to a mid-range D from just short of a B.
She also got her RS remark, which went up 4 marks, bringing her up from a B to an A. But out of 14 remarks in the English class, 7 of them went up.
Go ahead, Keith.
Our daughter did AF Math. We're in the position to get the paper remarked. And I think I can top everybody's total this morning. I paid over £140 to have the paper remarked.
And what happened with your daughter?
Well, one paper stayed the same. 11 marks were found on another paper, and it brought her onto the borderline of getting back into school. This is an AS level in mathematics. Had this been next year when she needed it to get into university, we'd have been absolutely snookered.
Well, to be fair to Sia, they didn't close down. They invited me down to their headquarters yesterday and they showed me all of the statistics around the examination process. And it was significant, the information they showed me, as you will hear in this interview with the Sia Chief Executive, Justin Edwards, who spoke to me just before we came on air. And I began by asking him if he was embarrassed by what he had heard.
Stephen, I think that the case of the remarking is fairly consistent with previous years. We put out about 137,000 qualifications at the end of this series, and of those, 12 will have more than one grade change in the final outcome. The number of requests for remarks are actually slightly down on the previous year in terms of the total. So we're seeing like-on-like comparison, and also like-on-like comparison with other awarding bodies outside Northern Ireland, the English awarding bodies. So I think that it's a consistent performance. However, I think that as in all these cases, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to try and improve the situation.
So let's look, I guess, at what has caused the concern. And I think anybody would be concerned when they hear that grade A students, or indeed A plus students, your organisation marked as grade D students.
I think
how does that happen?
In the cases where we're seeing large jumps and some of the cases you brought to the attention yesterday, they are mainly in the English literature subject.
Correct. So that's specifically what I'm talking about. So to be clear and to be fair to you, I'm talking about the GCSE English literature module. And Sia marked grade A or A star students as grade D students. So help us, first of all, understand how that happened.
It tends to happen in one component, and that tends to be the component around what we call the prose or analysis of text or analysis of books. And there is an interpretive factor with inside that part of the qualification. And in rare occasions, as I demonstrated from the statistics, an examiner, and this isn't down to one examiner, an examiner can make a mark or a judgment that this student hasn't got the text. And it's quite right in the system that teachers are able to pick that up and say, no, this student should perform better. It's our expectation that the student should perform better.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But how did a grade A star student get a grade D? What happened?
I don't want to talk about that's only one individual case, and I don't think it's fair to the learners to talk about one individual case.
But in general, how does it happen?
In general, it happens because there is an interpretation by the learner. Maybe it is a very talented, very able interpretation of a textbook. And in this case, or in these cases, an examiner has picked that up and said, no, that's not a good interpretation. And the senior examiner has come along and said, no, that is a brilliant interpretation. And actually, it needs the full credit and the full mark in that particular case.
But listen to what you're saying. You're saying that within your system, one examiner can say that's not a good interpretation, and another examiner looking at exactly the same paper can say that is incredibly good. How can there be any confidence in say it if two different examiners can describe something as not good at all and another one blowing people out of the water with how good it is?
And that can happen in a subjective subject like English literature. And it's not just for Sia. in 2016. Ofqual did a report. They looked at the issues of where grades were changing by more than one grade, and they found out that English literature is the number one subject where this happens. It is the subjective nature. And to try and give an example to your listeners, I was trying to think this morning of an example. If you take an I'm not an English literature expert, and I know I'm going to probably offend many English literature experts here, but if you take, in terms of English literature, if you take Lord of the Rings, everybody's seen Lord of the Rings. And an interpretation that was put on Lord of the Rings by some people was that it was Tolkien trying to communicate with his son in the trenches about the development of the Second World War. Now, he came out later on in life and said, no, that wasn't the case. But it's not unfeasible for Northern Ireland students to interpret a piece of text in an imaginative way that is very high ability for an examiner and a senior examiner to really see that talent for what it is and actually challenge back with inside the team through discussion and through remarks.
But how does the initial examiner not spot that?
The initial examiner may not see the context of that student, and it does require that professional debate between those individual points.
But you haven't got that professional debate built into your system in the initial awarding of a grade. It's one examiner. That examiner clearly... Well, essentially what you're saying, Justin, from what I can hear, is that the child is smarter than the examiner.
I think that the...
Is that true?
No, I think that the child has explored... In these minority of cases, the child has explored the text, has come up with a novel answer, which is actually a true and accurate answer and needs challenge. And it's these minority of cases that cause the debate at the top end of the qualification. And it is right to have professional debate at the top end of this qualification in order that you get those results back. Now, it is important that there are checks and balance right the way through the system. There are checks for how the examiners are performing in the normal component parts of the system. We do an awful lot of training and support the examiners. We will use cases like this then to go back next year and train the examiners again in that adjustment. But we also take those cases out and exemplify them to teachers, because examination is a dual role between us and the relationship with the teaching workforce as well. And they are there spotting these issues with the learners and putting them through this review of marking process.
But what you are saying is that if a child is so good, if a child is an A-star child, right at the very top of their field in English literature, and that's what we're talking about here, no other subject, then that child might actually form a risk, because they're so good, of outskilling the initial examiner. Is that fair?
I think that they can see things in a text that is novel, that is individual, and that we've got to have an exam system that catches those individuals.
You don't.
And in the English literature, we already do more training in that subject. We do more support. We do more monitoring in that subject than any other subject. And we rely on the review of marks. And the review of marks pick up these few cases. I come back to the number of double grade changes, 12 out of 137,000.
Yeah.
So it is the minority of cases, but in those minority of cases, I don't dispute that we could do more. We have to try to do more. But we are constantly striving to understand how people could answer with inside that English literature case.
Look, because I've gone down and visited you yesterday. I've seen the stats. I'm very happy to openly say that from the statistics that I have seen, we are talking about very few cases here. You know, statistically, incredibly small cases here where within your system a grade is changed. So there's no doubt about that, and I'm happy to say that out loud, no problem at all. And thank you for sharing those results with me. I guess when you say, though, Justin, that, look, the system is built so that, you know, when there is a review, that's when you'll catch the potential mistake and you're taking confidence and comfort from that. What I'm saying back to you, and I know you know this and I know you care about kids, is that that initial delivering of that initial result is devastating to an A grade child. And that's the flaw in the system, surely. If you tell an A grade child that they're a D grade, until that review is reviewed, my goodness, that's devastating.
I think that there isn't one person in my organisation, including myself, that doesn't realise the gravity on our shoulders. Every mark, every decision that we make, we know that there is a young person at the end of that decision. And getting that decision right is so essential for the work and the confidence in the public in what we do. We have to double up and look at the systems and the processes to make sure we catch these at an earlier stage. Because if they make it to this stage, I understand the pressure on the learners to get the grades, the disappointment when they don't get these grades. When they do challenge our system back through the review of marking or through the appeals process, we try and turn that around as rapidly as we possibly can. We do prioritise A-levels because we realise that there is decisions for university at stake. And so we rapidly work through that as quickly as we possibly can. In some days, turning around decisions in 24 hours. But we also try and work through the GCSEs as quickly as we can, and certainly in these cases. The process is not closed at the moment. We're still working on the process. But I think that you have brought to light on this show the challenges in the English literature. And I think it would only be fair at this stage for SEER to reopen that review of marking process. I'll reopen it for English literature at GCSE and at AS level.
So you are reopening the appeal process, because we've had listeners contacting and saying they can't do anything, it's closed down. You're announcing this morning you're reopening it.
I will reopen the review of marking, the opportunity for students to say, can somebody please look again at my paper. So that's the review of marking, called the remarking process. I'll reopen it until the 17th of October, and I'll reopen it for GCSE English Literature and AS English Literature. As you say, you saw the statistics. The exam system is performing well. We are talking about the minority of cases.
So why are you reopening it?
I'm reopening it because I want to give the public the confidence that if they feel that they've missed this opportunity, and as you say, you had people phoning in feeling that they've missed this opportunity around the English literature, if they feel that they've missed this opportunity, then let's be open and fair. We want the remarking process to work. That's why it's there. That's why it exists. And we'll give the learners the opportunity through their schools. We'll do it through the normal process because I think it's part of a discussion with the teachers. It's a very important part of the discussion with the teachers. And if teachers want to then, through their schools, submit for a remark, we'll do that.
And here's what's going to happen after this interview. We're going to get calls from parents saying they want other subjects reopened. What do you say to them?
Well, you saw the statistics yourself. The statistics for the other subjects are comparable, if not better, than previous years. SEER is improving this process, and I don't think it's right to reopen those subjects. There's no evidence that shows me in those subjects a cause for concern. There are individual cases, and there will always be individual cases of dispute and appeal, but the process is working appropriately in those cases. And can I just say, there are no changes of grades more than one grade at A2, so there is no university applicant out there that is affected by any of these statistics that I'm quoting.
A source has told me that where some other problems are within your system is that the examiner can't read a child's handwriting, and that has resulted sometimes in grades going up significantly when it's been reviewed. Are you familiar with that argument?
I think that there is sometimes dispute with junior examiners, and they're often picked up by the senior examiners before even the remark process, I have to say, because senior examiners mentor junior examiners through that process. And sometimes the script handwriting is very, very challenging, the learner's script. But senior examiners have worked, most of our senior examiners have worked for many, many years and are able to interpret and say, no, that is worthy of mark. This comes back to the point that...
Well, sources told me, Justin, that this year, one of the instances where a child went up from a D to an A was because of handwriting. Is that true?
I can't comment on an individual case, but
are you familiar of someone's grade going up by two grades because of handwriting this year?
I am not familiar of an individual case, but I am familiar of regrades in the past where the handwriting has actually been the cause of dispute.
So in this day and age, should a child not be typing?
I think that we certainly need to look at how we can introduce technology into the examinations process. I think that that's a very good point.
But you say you need to look at it. Why aren't you doing it?
Well, we're already doing it in part in the Moving Image Arts qualification, which is an A-level that's run for 10 years. The students actually do their exam online. they do their alignment material. There is no other A-level in the UK that is done in that way. So Northern Ireland actually leads the space. But when you introduce computers into the examination system, you introduce an element of risk. Computers, you know, having them reliable, making sure that they're able to reach out in broadband into the rural locations so that we get all that data out. And then we've got the security of data and making sure this is learners' data and learners' information that we're trying to transmit back and forth. We've got to make sure that that data is accurate and secure. So we have a pilot underway in the Moving Image Arts, and we plan to roll it out further and transform
into all subjects.
I think that over time we will. I don't think we'll do it en masse in one go, but we certainly need to introduce technology in more subjects.
Let me turn to the examiners. For those examiners who have marked a grade A or a grade A star student as a grade D, will they work again? Will they be marking more papers for you?
I think we have to look at the context of each individual examiner.
Well, you must have looked at it by now.
We haven't. At this moment in time, we're still going through the appeals. So the appeals run right up to the end of October.
No,
for those
students who have already been marked from D to A.
And they may not
have looked at those examiners.
They may not have closed out. You have to look at an examiner in their holistic marking, not just a one single case, but actually in their holistic marking. How did they perform? And how do they perform overall? Was this one case for an examiner who marked 200 scripts absolutely perfectly? And if so, why did that actually happen in that case? And that is part of the discussion with the examiner. We actually look at the performance of every single examiner in our system every year.
But the public's the constant question I've had since the broadcast of this programme yesterday was, how did it happen? And I know you're being circumspect because you don't want to talk about this individual case, but it's clear that either the child is too intelligent for the examiner or the handwriting isn't good. Can there be any other reason that an examiner would continue, an examiner that got it so wrong?
There are other reasons with inside that. As I said, it's the interpretation. The examiner might make the judgment that the learner approached it in the wrong order, that they missed key points where actually the key points were embedded or implicit with inside the statement of the learner. There are many reasons.
So that's the examiner getting it fundamentally wrong.
There are many reasons. This examiner got it wrong. This examiner got it wrong. And the remark process corrected that. A senior examiner corrected what the junior examiner was doing and where that examiner got it wrong. But it doesn't mean to say that one mistake, that examiner, like I said, may have completed 200 papers. They may have actually had to have 20, 30 of their papers remarked. And in those remarks, it might be the one that went from a D to an A.
I want to say this again because I think this programme needs to be as fair as possible. When I saw the statistics yesterday and I heard so few numbers of those children who had asked for a review, the grades actually changing. The context is that in very few cases, the grades change. So in the vast majority of the time, you're getting it right. But does this story give parents and teachers a very clear message that if there's any doubt whatsoever, they should ask for a review?
Absolutely. The review process is there. Parents should work with teachers. Teachers can make the professional judgment in the subject. As I said, I'm not an English literature expert, and I would rely on a teacher of English literature to have a discussion, if it was my child, with me about whether I should take forward a review. Now, that review process is on our website. I would encourage people to look at it and understand it if they've got young people going through examinations now. Talk with their teachers, talk with the exams officer in the school if they need to do so, and let the school make the representation to SEER, because it's SEER that charges the school for the remark, and it's the school that must come forward and make that case.
Money is important here because you're charging parents to review exams, to have their exams, their children's exams reviewed. And we heard from one parent who can't afford it. And he was devastated and he's feeling guilty because he couldn't afford the £80 that you're charging him for this review process that you're saying is part of the checking mechanism. How's that fair if a checking mechanism comes at a cost?
I think if I could just start and say SEER charges the schools as an exam body, as do other exam bodies, for a review of mark or a priority review. And it's the school's policy of whether they make that charge. I know that educational budgets are very tight. My own organisation took a large cut in the last year. Money is tight in the education system at the moment. We're all aware of that, and that is a challenge. But I would like to get that cost as low as I can. SEER, I think you quoted yesterday, we're about £33 for a priority remark. Other awarding bodies are charging £45 or £50. We're always one of the cheapest, if not the cheapest.
Will you review the costs?
I will keep the costs in reviews. I haven't raised the costs and I'm not adjusting the costs in year. I will keep that cost at a minimum. One of the challenges I have is there are other awarding bodies that operate inside Northern Ireland. And actually, to undermine that cost position to such a low level might cause those other awarding bodies to say that that is unfair.
Justin, now, it's excluding some parents from being able to appeal. You heard them on the radio yesterday.
I think one of the things that, and I'm not committed to today because I've got to go away and have a look at this. I think one of the things we have to look at is there anything we can do with this cost base? Can we do it for free school meals, for example?
Justin, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
So that's the head of SEER. Let me just summarise two of the top lines from that interview. One, he is announcing that after our investigation, GCSE and AS level English literature appeals are to be reopened. So if you have any concerns whatsoever, he has now reopened the appeal process until the 17th of October. So that's this day next week. And if you are a student or a parent, you now can contact your school. It was closed, it's now reopened, and your school can appeal and start that appeal process if they do so within the next 7 days. And just at the end of that interview there, he confirmed that he is prepared to now consider children who are on free school meals not being charged for the regrading process, for the appeals process. And those two statements from Justin Edwards, very significant for the education of our children in Northern Ireland.